All right, if you would, let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 5. Mark, the fifth chapter. Before we begin, let's bow before our Lord together in prayer. Our Father, how thankful we are that of your goodness and mercy and grace to your people, you've given us one more opportunity to meet together to worship your precious name. You've given us one more opportunity to hear the gospel of your Son proclaimed. And Father, I pray that you'd bless us. Bless us, enable us to worship you. And Father, bless us, enable us to hear and to believe your darling Son. Let his name be preeminent and exalted in everything that is said and done here this morning. Bless us in this hour as we look into your word and show us more of the glory of Christ our Savior. And Father, what we pray for ourselves, we pray especially for our children's classes at this time, Father, that you might be pleased to bless our teachers, enable them to teach the word to our young ones. And Father, enable them to hear, plant the seeds of faith in their hearts. We pray. How we thank you for all these young ones that you've given to us. And Father, of all the things we would pray for them, the chiefest of all is that you would be pleased to be merciful to their souls, that you make us faithful to always teach them the scriptures and point them to Christ. And Father, we pray a blessing for your people that are in times of great difficulty, sorrow, and sicknesses. Father, we pray you'd be with your people, that you'd heal, that you'd comfort, that you would deliver as soon as it could possibly be thy will. We pray especially for our sister Andrea. She's going through these treatments, that Father, you'd be with her, that you continue to be with Jackie and Peggy, that you'd heal and deliver according to thy will. Give them a special portion of your presence that would comfort their hearts till you're pleased to deliver. Now, Father, all these things we ask, and we give thanks in that name which is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I've titled our lesson this morning, What Brings a Sinner to Christ? Our lesson begins in verse 21 of Mark chapter 5. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Now you remember the Lord had been teaching a large group beside the Sea of Galilee. Then he and his disciples got into a little boat and crossed the Sea of Galilee to go to the other side. And they went through a great storm. The storm was so large it scared the disciples half to death. But the Lord crossed that sea. He took his disciples. He went through that great storm. He went to all this trouble to cross the sea to find one man. One man who was possessed with a legion of demons, and the Lord was merciful to him. Now the Lord showed mercy to his object of grace. Now he crosses back over the sea again, because he's got two more needy people he's going to show mercy to on this day. So here's the first thing we see right off. Remember the title, What Brings a Sinner to Christ? A sinner is brought to Christ because Christ comes to us first, doesn't he? All right, verse 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. You know, I'm a father of daughters. It's hard for me to really imagine the desperation that Jairus was feeling when he came to the Lord. His little daughter. I mean, is there anything more precious than a little daughter? Was at the point of death. Jairus was probably afraid she had already died. And he was so heartbroken, he was desperate to have his little daughter to be raised again. And that's why Jairus came to the Lord. It's because he was desperate. He knew his little daughter was not going to get any better. So that when all hope was gone, he tried everything he could think of. And when all hope was gone, he came to Christ because he knew that only the Lord Jesus could heal his daughter. He knew if she had died, he could even raise her from the dead. He believed that. Now, can you imagine how thrilled and how relieved he was when he came and laid out his heart's desire to the Lord, and the Lord immediately went with him? Well, Jairus is so happy. I mean, if the Lord's coming to his house, his little daughter's healed. I mean, Jairus has got no worries now, does he? And on their way back to Jairus' house, they meet a certain woman. Now, I just bet you Jairus was not real thrilled with this interruption. Now, we're going to spend the rest of our time here looking at the Lord's interaction with this certain woman. We'll come back at looking at Jairus and how the Lord dealt with him next week. But this is an interruption, as far as Jairus can see it, on the way back to his house to heal his little daughter. Now, we all know the story of how the Lord healed the woman with the issue of blood. And I want us to look at this story as a picture of how the Lord interacts with his people and heals all the spiritual wounds and bruises and putrefying sores of his people. Now, what brings a sinner to Christ? Well, number one, our misery brings us to the Lord. Look at verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years. Now, this woman, her disease was she was having her time of the month for 12 years. For 12 years, she was enduring this monthly curse of sin without any stop, without any interruption. And you can just imagine how horrible she felt, just unrelenting pain and cramping. She's an emotional wreck. She was weak from anemia. And the law forbid this woman to come to Christ. The law forbid this woman to be out in public, to come to the synagogue, to come to the place of worship, to be out in public, because she was unclean. Anything she touched would become unclean. Now, normally, I mean, you know, that is a problem for a woman a few days every month. But this woman had been enduring this for 12 straight years. She was sick, miserable, and she was miserably lonely. To think that you can't go out in public, you know. It was her misery that brought her to Christ. Her misery made her seek the Savior. Now, a sinner will never come to Christ for salvation until we're miserable. And when I'm talking about miserable, I don't mean that we're just sad because of our earthly circumstances, you know. I mean miserable. Miserable because of what we are. Of what we are. Not the consequences of what we're going through, but miserable because of the sin that we are. You know, sin is not just doing something that's a violation of God's law. Sin is what we are. Sin is something, anything, that's the opposite of God. It's coming short of the glory of God. That's what sin is. And that's what this woman issue of blood pictures. Sin is in us. It's in our blood. It's in our nature. And if a person thinks, well, you know, I'm not that bad, then they'll never come to Christ. The Lord has to make us miserable because of who we are. That's when we'll come running to Christ. It was her misery that brought her to Christ. And it'll be our misery that brings us to Christ if the Lord brings us to him. All right, number two, it's man's failure that brings us to the Lord. Verse 26 said, she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Now, it was this woman's personal failure that brought her to the Lord. It was her sin that caused this disease in her body. So it's her failure. It's her nature of sin that brought her to Christ. But you know, it's also the failure of everybody else too. This woman went to every doctor she could find. She spent every penny she had trying to find any cure. Somebody that told her this ointment or this mixture or this something, you know, will make you better. She spent money on it till she'd seen every doctor within traveling distance. And she spent every penny that she had. And none of them could help her. All of man's inventions failed her. She went to all those doctors, and they just made her worse. You know, her neighbor told her, you know, My sister-in-law's aunt's cousin, she had the same problem that you did. She went to Dr. So-and-so, you know, and he fixed her right up. Well, this woman immediately made an appointment. The doctor just made her worse. Now, here's the picture of you and me. You know, we start to get some sense of our sin. We start to get some sense of our guilt. We start to get some sense of our sin sickness. And immediately, we go to man to find something to do to make our situation better. We go to man to find something to do that will get rid of this sin, will get rid of this guilt, will get rid of this heavy weight that's upon us. We go looking to the doctors of religion. Invariably, first place we'll go is old Doc Freewill. But he just makes us worse. Because our will, left to its own devices, will always go away from God instead of bringing us to God. Then we go to Dr. Law. Now he's an impressive-looking doctor. He's got an impressive-looking practice. But we'll find Dr. Law just makes us worse. Dr. Law, he can show us our sin. He can show us, here's the problem. Here it is. But he can't cure us. He can't heal us. He can't give us mercy. He can't bring us to Christ. So then we try old Dr. Miracles and Dr. Speaking in Tongues. But we find out those two fellas, they're just quacks. All they're selling is snake oil that doesn't do the soul any bit of good. About time we're ready to give up, we hear about a new doctor in town. There's Dr. Church Membership. He's got a partner in his practice, Dr. Denomination. And they look us over real good, and they make a referral to Dr. Baptism, to Dr. Ritual, and Dr. Ceremony. But we'll find out all their soothing words and their candlelit ceremonies and their washings and their ointments can never take away the guilt of sin, the burning guilt and weight of sin. All they're trying to do is cloak the sin that's already there. They're trying to cover it up, but they don't even make any attempt to take it away. See, that's the problem with man's religion. All man's religion ever tries to do is treat the outward symptoms of the disease. Man's religion can't treat the disease because they don't know where it's at. The disease is not outward, it's inward. They don't know that sin is in the nature. It's in the blood. It's in the heart. And while they're treating all those outward symptoms of sin, the nature just gets worse. The root of the problem just gets worse. They talk about righteousness and salvation and forgiveness and grace. They use all the right words. They talk about Jesus. But everything they do takes you further away from God instead of closer to God. They just make you spiritually worse. Now, am I exaggerating that? You know, someone said, well, religion is good, isn't it? I mean, good for society, at least if it cleans up the outward and makes somebody, you know, a little more moral. Isn't that good? No, sir. No, sir. It's evil. It never does anyone any good. It just makes them worse. And I can show you that's true. Look back at Matthew chapter 23. Here's our Lord talking to all those doctors. These are doctors, law and doctor ceremony, doctor baptism, doctor washing, doctor ceremony. And this is what the Lord says to them. Matthew 23, verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you're hypocrites. For you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. I mean, you put the work into it to find one proselyte. And when he's made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Those doctors of religion only make our disease worse, don't they? Make us more deserving of hell, not less deserving of it. What the master said, only Christ can heal the disease of sin. Only Christ can make us whole. Only Christ can take sin away and give us a new nature that will never sin and never cause us to be sin sick again. But the Lord has to make us miserable and make us have no hope before we'll ever come to Christ. We have to see there's no other way except Christ to come to God. And here's why God has to do it that way, because you and I are so sinful, we will only come to Christ when everything else fails. It's just the process of elimination. Once you eliminate everything else, that's when you'll go to Christ. When God makes you see that you're going to fail in everything else that you do. All right, here's the third thing. Now, what brings a sinner to Christ? It's the work of God's providence that brings us to the Lord. Now, this poor woman was miserable. I mean, doesn't your heart just break for her? I mean, just, oh, you're so sorry for her? But do you know what? It was her misery that brought her to Christ. This woman didn't want to be sick. That's why she spent everything she had trying to find some cure. She'd do anything to get better. She didn't want to be sick. She hated the sickness. But do you know what? If she wasn't sick, she never would have come to Christ. The Lord is the one who made her sick. You know, he's the one sovereign over all things. The Lord is the one that made her sick so that she would be forced to come to him at his feet. Now, the same thing's true of our sin and our guilt. And please understand, I'm not saying there's anything good about our sin. There's no redeeming quality in our sin or our guilt whatsoever. It's horrible. It's wretched. It's against God. It deserves damnation. That's what it deserves. But when does sin come into the world? When Adam sinned against God in the garden. Now, the Lord certainly could have stopped Adam from sinning. Couldn't he? The Lord's sovereign over all things. The Lord could have stopped Adam from sinning if he'd have wanted to, but he allowed it. And here's why. Because if we never sinned in Adam, we never would have known the joy of being made righteous in Christ. If we had never known death in Adam, we had never known the joy of life in Christ. If we never experienced the misery of guilt in Adam, we never would have known the peace of righteousness in Christ. The Lord sovereignly overrode Adam's sin and overrode our sin so that his people would be brought to Christ. It's called sovereignty, his purpose that brings his people to him. All right, number four, what brings a sinner to Christ? It's the preaching of the word. Verse 27 says, and when she heard, now somehow, I know she's not supposed to be out in public, she's not supposed to be going places, she's not supposed to be around people, but somehow she heard of Christ. Somehow she heard this man has power over every disease. And besides having the power, he's compassionate. He cares about the suffering of people. He cares about people. She heard about his glory. That's what she heard about. You know, hearing who the Lord Jesus Christ is, hearing about his power, his compassion, his love, his grace, his mercy. That's his glory. That's what made her come to him, wasn't it? She heard. Now, the same thing's true about everybody that God saves. We're going to hear Christ preached. We're going to hear him. Somehow, some way, I don't know how it'll be. Some people in different ways than others. But somehow, God's people are going to be brought to the place where they hear Christ preached. And when we hear, now Christ is the only Savior of sinners. When we hear, he has compassion for sinners. He has mercy reserved for sinners. When we hear about there's forgiveness of our sin because of the blood of his sacrifice. He shed his blood. He suffered and died for sinners to put their sin away. When we hear about his power, his blood cleanses us from all sin. There's no sin that's so great, that's so horrible, that has so deeply stained our soul that his blood can't wash us white as snow. He's got power to save. He is able to save to the uttermost. Completely and fully, everybody that comes to God by him. That's the glory of Christ. He's going to have mercy on somebody. And that brings his people to Christ. Now, we can't come to Christ and we can't trust in Christ until somebody tells us who he is. We have to hear who he is before we can trust him, don't we? We have to hear who he is before we're going to be drawn to come to him. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God, by the preaching of the word of God. All right, number five, what is it that brings a sinner to Christ? It's the gift of faith. Verse 27, and when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Now it was God-given faith that made this woman crawl up. I mean, can't you just see this crowd and these crowd thronging the Savior? And here's this little old woman crawling up on her hands and knees, you know, getting between everybody just to reach out and touch the hem of the Lord's garment. Now, what makes somebody do that? They believe if they touch him, they'll be made whole. They believe. That's why they do it. She believed because God had given her faith in Christ. Saving faith in Christ always acts. Always. You know, someone might think, well, do I have faith in Christ? Here's how you can tell. Faith reaches out and touches Christ. Faith reaches out and lays hold on Christ. Faith trusts Christ. Now, here's how I know I trust Christ. I quit trying to add my works to help him save me. And I just trust him. He's enough. That's saving faith. Saving faith always acts. I'm going to quit trying to establish my own righteousness and trust Christ. I'm going to quit trying to sin less because I trust his blood has put all my sin away. I trust Christ. Now verse 30. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and behold of thy plague. And the Lord said here, your faith hath made thee whole. Now we know it wasn't her faith that healed her, don't we? We know that. It's Christ who healed her. But if we would be saved, God's got to give us faith to believe Christ. God's got to give us faith to reach out and touch him. Now, you know, there are a whole lot of people touching the Lord in this crowd, weren't they? They were thronging him. They were just pressing up against him, just touching him on every side. Everybody was just wanting to get as close as they could to him. So many people were thronging him. But one person touched him. One person touched him in faith. And she was healed instantly. See, Christ healed her. But she believed that Christ was all she needed. Christ healed her, but she received that healing through faith. Not because of her faith, but through faith. See what I'm saying? And that's how God saves sinners. Christ saved his people. He saved his people by his obedience to the law for them. Christ saved his people. It's by the blood of his sacrifice. He put the sin of his people away by his precious blood that he shed to justify his people and make them the righteousness of God in him. Christ saved his people. Christ is the Savior of sinners. And that salvation is received through faith in Christ. It's received by trusting Christ. So it's faith in Christ that brings a sinner to come to him. If God gives you faith in Christ, this I promise you, you'll come to him. Because you can't do anything else, because saving faith acts. Now that's what brings a sinner to Christ. Now there's a couple things here that a sinner finds when they come to Christ. And I can't end without giving these to you because they're so precious. Number one is this. Our Savior is never too busy to help a sinner. Now here, remember how this whole trip started where this crowd is thronging him and he comes up upon this certain woman who crawled up behind him and touched the hem of his garment. How it all started was Jairus came to the Lord and told him about the sickness of his little daughter, that she's nigh unto death. And if you'd come touch her, she'll be healed. The Lord says, I'll come. They start walking. And now they've got this interruption. Can you imagine? I mean, just try to imagine for a second. how Jay Iris felt about this? This conversation to Jay Iris has taken a long time. The Lord has stopped in his tracks for a long time. Jay Iris didn't have time to stop. Now, I don't know anything about Jay Iris. I don't know one blessed thing about him except his daughter here. But truth be told, I just bet you he didn't care a whole lot about this woman. I mean, maybe under other circumstances he would have cared about her. He had some compassion about her. But at this particular moment, all he cares about is his little daughter. Because remember, he's desperate. It's his desperation that brought him to Christ too. Jay Iris is just flat too busy to stop and help this poor woman. He's in emergency mode. There's no time to spare. Now, our Savior is never too busy to stop and help a poor lost sinner. I know a couple things, a couple different times, that our Lord stopped in his tracks. Right here with this poor woman and the cry of blind Bartimaeus. The Lord heard that cry, that begging for mercy, and he stopped. The cry of a needy sinner always stops the Savior in his tracks because he's never too busy to help a poor lost sinner who's begging for mercy. Never. Never. The great physician is never too busy to heal a sin-sick sinner. Now, if you need an appointment with a doctor, you better be getting on the phone tomorrow morning trying to make an appointment because it's going to be a while, isn't it? Do you can get in? Not the Savior. No, he's never too busy to heal a sin-sick sinner. This Savior is the Lord of glory. He's God Almighty. He's ruling this entire creation. He's ruling everything that happens in this creation all at once. I mean, there's a lot of people in this world. There's a lot of things going on in this world. There's a lot of animals, there's a lot of molecules, there's a lot of dust mites, there's a lot of clouds, there's a lot of mountains, there's a lot of grass, there's a lot of rain, there's a lot of drought. There's so much going on, and the Lord is orchestrating it all to accomplish his eternal will and purpose. I mean, billions of people, I reckon, living in this world, doing things, and the Lord's working it all together for good. Now you think of that. Everything that's going on in this creation. And there's no one and no thing more important to God Almighty than a sinner crying for mercy. You think of that. There's never so much going on that he's got to say, wait a minute, I got to take care of this first. There's never so much going on that the Lord doesn't hear the weakest cry of a poor sinner begging for mercy. He hears it, and he's never too hard-hearted to help. Never. Now I'm going to ask you something. That's so. Then why haven't you cried and begged him for mercy? Why haven't you cried out? Why don't you ask him to save your sin-sick soul? As insignificant as you are, if you cry for mercy, God Almighty will hear you. He absolutely will. All right, here's the second thing. When we come to Christ, this is what we find out. Number one, we find out he's not too busy to help. And number two, we find out, oh, I was a child of God all along. Did you notice in verse 34, the Lord said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and behold of thy plague. This is the only place in Scripture where the Lord Jesus calls somebody daughter. Now, like I told you, I'm the father of daughters. And that's a pretty special word. That's a very, very, very special relationship. My daughter. This is God. called this poor woman, this miserable, suffering, sick woman, he called her his daughter because she is his daughter, because she is. He made her his in divine election when he chose her to be his. She's his daughter. The reason that the Holy Spirit drew this woman to Christ, you know why? She was his daughter all along. She was his child all along. God, the Holy Spirit, will do that for all of God's children. He will draw them to Christ. Now, that's what draws sinners to Christ. And that's what you'll find out when you get there, if you ever come to him. And I hope we will. All right. The Lord bless you.